everybody! Welcome to the Drunken Whalers, where we get drunk and talk about Dishonored. I'm Claire. That's Sarah.
Hi.
And this is my last cider. So next week I have to go get cider to drink to do this.
Rip. Claire has to go buy a six-pack.
I do.
Keep saying that I'm going to buy vodka and make it cocktail, but I still am too lazy to go to the liquor store. But I am also drinking a Thai iced tea, which means that even though it is a Friday night, I still am drinking coffee at the same time as we're recording this.
What are your drinks?
I said earlier to Claire that I have three drinks on my table, and I have a cider, I have a glass of water, and I have the Thai's coffee thing.
Wow. That's a lot of drinks.
I know. It's like this frozen drink that the Thai place near me makes, and it's really good and costs too much money. But it's good, so, here we are.
That's so valid.
Also, if I, like, I won't fall asleep, because, like, I had work today, and that's exhausting.
Okay, yeah, huge mood. Yeah.
But hey, at least we're not Corvo, who hasn't slept in, like, 3 days!
That is such a good point! He really hasn't slept in, like, at least 48 hours, right?
This is the third mission in a row where they had made it clear that he has not slept between them, and the party was at night. It's, like, either still night now, or it's, like, morning. It was daytime when he went and got Sokolov, right? And then it's, like, the boil party was that night. And
yeah.
The thing before Sokolov, too, was that the same day?
Jesus Christ. Yes, that was, because they were, like, he went to the Golden Cat, and they were, like, you have to go immediately to get Anton Sokolov while he's in his apartment, as if he never goes to his apartment. So,
you know, the place where he lives.
It's been a bit of time.
Now that I'm thinking about this, that's insane.
Maybe he naps when Samuel's, like, boating him around.
Yeah, it's like, let Corvo and Samuel sleep and make the timeline of this game make more sense.
I love timelines so much, and then they do this to me.
It's bad. Okay, so we left off where you're talking to Havelock and Teague.
Right, Havelock and Teague, they're looking at a map. I stole stuff from them right while I was there.
And, like, read Havelock's fucking journal, where he's being a shithead as usual.
Right. And then you go to Dunwall Tower. This is, what mission number is this? 6?
Yes? Let me think. Yeah, it's the 6th mission.
Okay, great. 6th mission. Dunwall Tower. I don't know the name.
It's called Return to the Tower, Claire. I told you this, like, 5 minutes ago.
I know, but I didn't remember.
That's fine.
Fine.
Yeah, and, like, the thing I think is really interesting about, like, the way this mission is, like, set up and presented to you is it's, like, it's such, like, a bookending mission. Like, it's like, oh, you're going back to the place where, the game started at Dunwall Tower when Jessamine got murdered. And it's like, oh, you're going back. And, like, it's, like, paralleling everything. And, like, it's, like, I feel like it's clear. I mean, I don't know. Like, they don't really think you're gonna think this is the end of the game, right?
I don't know. I don't remember what I thought. I think I did think it was, maybe not. No, I think I thought it was the end of the game. But, like, I was judging it based on how long it took me to play it.
Yeah.
And because I'm a nosy, like, son of a bitch, I went and looked at everything, so it took me a really long time. So by the time
because, like, every mission could take, like, 2 hours, so it's, like, it's not unreasonable to think this would be, like, a 12-hour game.
Yes, like, yeah, by the time I got here, I'd been, like, fucking exploring around for so long, and, like, I was also bad at it, so it took longer. It was like, it wasn't totally out of the realm of possibility that this could be, like, the end. Especially if it's, like, a long mission.
Yeah. Honestly, I had at one point, while I was playing the game, I had looked up how many missions there were, so I knew that it wasn't the end.
Wow.
And I was like, huh.
Amazing. Alright, let's get in the boat with Samuel. Who says...
Yay!
He has a whole bunch of things about how this is really poetic, and it must be hard for Corvo to be back here at the tower where everything happened, and, you know, maybe Corvo can, you know, make up for what happened back then, which is kind of unfair, because it wasn't really Corvo's fault.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, It's like, well, maybe you can make some less horrible memories where instead of having the woman you love murdered in front of you, you can murder somebody else, which is probably better.
Yeah. And so Samuel does take you right back to the waterlock where you went in the first time.
Like, I didn't realize this last time, but yeah, it's like, it's exactly the same place, like, which I love that.
I do too.
And like, it looks totally different because it's dark and because you're like under, like, you have to like, you don't get to go in the waterlock. You have to go, you're like dropped off right outside the waterlock.
Yeah. Well, it's like the mechanic that makes like the water in the waterlock rise. Like, he's not doing that for you. So.
Yeah, it's like, you gotta climb the fuck up.
Yeah, and there's like some dead bodies just chilling like in, you know, the piping of this waterlock. Like,
is that the guy that had the bone charm who was just dead as fuck?
He was just like in like some side grating, completely fucking dead. Been like probably gnawed on by a bunch of rats.
Like, yeah,
doesn't he you like think somebody stink?
Would like smell that?
Yeah, like someone should have seen this. But I mean, like, I guess if the water lock's not working, I don't know. Wouldn't it contaminate the water?
My theory about this is, Dunwall probably just smells like corpses all the time.
That's a great point.
And, because everyone's fucking dead.
You're so correct. So,
especially in my game where I've been murdering everybody left and right. It's like, you know, maybe this is just normal, apparently.
Yeah, I get that makes a lot of sense. You're completely correct. I'm gonna let it go.
You're always right.
So yeah, you climb up the waterlock, the mission notes at the beginning of the mission tells you that if the, like, the Lord Regent is, like, really paranoid and has put all of his troops here and, like, reinforced it with a bunch of shit, and he has a safe room at the top of the tower that he will run to if you trip any alarms.
Yeah.
Which I always forget about because I never fucking have, so Samuel's like, Andy is a safe room, and I'm like, the fuck? Does he?
Yeah, I had never been to his safe room before this.
Cause I had not either.
I didn't go. Yeah, it's this like map is really big because I guess I mean it's the whole fucking palace basically.
Yeah, Samuel also tells you that there's like a broadcast control station here, where they you know send out all the broadcasts that you've been hearing about all the people that are, like all the ones that are like don't break curfew and the military can fucking kill you and it's fine. They all come from here. And you're like, interesting, I'll go check that out.
Yeah, I think it's so funny that, like, Samuel's like, I know you're here to murder somebody, but here's the thing I think is interesting. It's like, thanks, Samuel, so I'm sure funny. That's not relevant to the plot or anything.
And then he says it was an honor to serve with you, which is, like, so sweet.
He says that in the context of, if you don't come back, it was an honor to serve with you.
It's still sweet.
Hey, Samuel's a good guy. I'm glad that he doesn't hate me yet.
He will. So yeah, you climb up this palace, and again, this is a huge map, so there's, like, a whole, like, there's the waterlock, there's, like, the whole front courtyard with, like, gazebo, and, like, a bunch of watchtowers.
And a bunch of fucking tall boys.
Yeah. So the whole courtyard takes, like, fucking forever to get through. Especially because, again, there's no fucking way to take out the tall boys without killing them, and that always causes a ruckus, so...
Yeah, because they start shooting you, and then everyone's like, why are the tall boys shooting? So, oh shit.
Yeah. That was not very pleasant.
The very exciting thing I learned while playing this map today, or yesterday, was that you can fucking possess tall boys. I didn't realize this. I never tried to do it until one of them was attacking me, and I was like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. And I was like, oh, I wonder if you can possess them. You can fucking possess them. And you are so tall when you possess them.
Yes, after you told me this, I also possessed one. It's fucking wild.
It's like you become like 3 feet, like 3 stories tall, and it's like you can't really do anything while you're possessing somebody. You can just walk. But it's like, it's just like a lot. And like, I think
I'm really impressed with like how smooth their stilts are. Like they're pretty, they're pretty good.
Sokolov knows what he's... I assume Sokolov invited the tall boys. Yeah. He knows what he's doing, I guess.
Fuck Sokolov.
Maybe.
So yeah, I did not find anything super important in the courtyard except for a note from a military major asking the general to keep their... like, or asking the general to keep their men away from, like, the torturer who's in the basement.
Yeah. And like when you find the note, it gives you the objective, like, oh, you could go kill a torturer if you want.
Who specifically is the dude who tortured you.
Yes, and which again, it's like another like bookendy thing, as it's like, oh, you can go kill the torturer who was in like the Coldridge prison in the first mission.
Yeah, there's also, I had never noticed this before, but like if you walk along this like right side of the map for the courtyard, there's a door, like you can't go through it, but it just says like to Coldridge prison. I'm like, how fucking close are they keeping the prison to their palace? Like, does that not seem like a bad idea?
Oh my god, that's like, that's such a bad idea. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's like, there's a giant gate. I'm like, how close is this? Could I have just escaped prison like I did and just fucking run to the palace and killed girls right then and there? I could have.
That's how you do a Dishonored 1 speedrun.
So yeah, that's fucking wild and stupid as shit.
Bad city planning. Yeah, that's, the only other thing in the courtyard is, if, I think along the left side, if you go up a certain way, you can run into this nice mechanical engineer man, who, there's always, like, some NPCs who, when they show up, you can, like, most NPCs, if they see you, they'll, like, be, like, if they're not guards, they'll, like, start running and call for the guards, but this guy you can just talk to. And he sees you, and he's like, oh, you're that assassin, right? And he's like, don't kill me. Like, I hate these people, too. I don't even want to work here. And, it, like before you talk to him, I, like, listened to him for a little while, and he was, like, complaining about them, like, wanting him to build a moat. And he was like, this is so fucking stupid.
I love him!
He's like, hey, there's this, like, overflow gate around this, like, basically this moat that's around the tower, and, like, if you shut it off, you can just use it to swim past, like, the guards and past the courtyard. And, like, I, like, just do it. Like, I don't care. Don't kill me. And so you can get in the tower that way.
Hmm. That's so convenient. It's really nice.
It is. You have to, like, possess a hagfish to get by. Like, there might be a way to get in as, like, a human, but the only way I could find was, like, this little hole that you had to be a hagfish to swim through.
I think I didn't do this because it was, like, in the middle somewhere, but, like, there is, like, another valve right at the front of the entrance you can, like, open and swim through the sewers, but I didn't do it. I just saw the valve.
Yeah, I didn't. I've probably never done that.
I never have, but I think every time I use, like, the void vision, I see it, and I'm like, huh, that's sure a way to do something.
That's probably important for some reason.
Yeah. No, to get into the tower, I blinked up to a ledge, and within, like, they're fucking piping. Like, they just have, I know it's obviously because this is a video game, but it's like, man, that's not safe. They just have a person-sized hole in the wall that I could just whack through.
You think Mr. Fucking Paranoid Man would, like, not want that to be there.
Yeah.
But oh well.
Oh well, I went in there. And that's, I got inside.
Also, I just want to say that I totally fucking beefed it in the courtyard and ended up having to kill everybody, because due to the fact that this week, prior to playing this game, I have played, like, 20 million hours of the Prey DLC, which Prey is a game that is made by the same people who made Dishonored and is just, like, sci-fi and is similar in many ways, but has, like, very similar control scheme, but, like, slightly different, and it caused me to accidentally shoot my gun, like, 5 times when I was trying to blink, because I forgot how things were, like, mapped to the buttons, and I hate it, and never play those games next to each other, ever.
That's really funny. I'm so sorry that happened to you. Good luck. It's so funny. I'm sorry.
I just, like, assumed I had blink mapped to my left, mapped to, like, the left trigger buttons, and I was like, no, I was holding a gun. So that didn't go well for me. Because people hear it when you shoot a gun. Good times. Also, Prey Moon Crash is very good. If you play Prey, then you should buy the DLC.
I haven't finished Prey, but one day I will do that for you.
Thank you. So that'll be our podcast we do after this podcast, after we run out of Dishonored.
We're never going to run out of Dishonored.
Which someday could possibly happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we made it into the tower. Yay!
The tower is, like, it's 4 story, 3 stories.
Well, there's a basement, and there's, like, two or... there's the room. There's, like, four stories, yeah, basically.
So, yeah. So, where I came in, I don't know if you came in the same... You didn't, because you went through the pipes or
I came in through a side door. It was, like, a side door into the main room.
Okay, so, yeah. Then we came in about the same place. I climbed through a grate into the main room. So, this is, like, a giant foyer with a really huge grand staircase. And the first thing you see when you climb in here is you see... the Lord Regent Skyping his men, basically. Like, there's two guys, they are talking to the Lord Regent on, like, a fucking television, basically. And I was listening to our first podcast earlier, and I did say, you can quote me on this, as like, well, TVs don't exist, and I'm fucking wrong!
Were you listening to that because you were listening to find out what you had said about Dowd?
Yeah. But I found this great gold, which is that I said TVs don't exist, making a great joke. And they do.
You were wrong. You should never make jokes. This makes me so fucking angry. There is no, like, I am willing to believe so many of the bullshit Sokolov inventions. I'm willing to buy, like, walls of light and all that shit. I do not buy that in this world television screens exist. I just don't. I do not. Like, I was fucking tweeting about this. Photography barely exists. Photography only, like, officially exists in the second game, 15 years later. They do not have televisions.
I know. It's fucking ludicrous. It truly is, out of all the things in this game, the thing I looked at now, being like, what the fuck? Genuinely, what the hell? Like, you have a system in this game that transmits and allows two people to talk through a television screen. They don't have telephones.
They don't have telephones. They don't have walkie-talkies. This never appears anywhere else in any other game in this series. It's only here. Like, unless I'm forgetting something, and I refuse to believe I would have forgotten this. Like,
I think you're right. I think you're correct. Like, this does not exist anywhere else. It never comes back. This is bad. This is a bad choice.
Anyway, so yeah, so it's infuriating.
I mean, so, like, the point of it is that you're supposed to listen to these two guys, and one of them is, like, a guard, and one of them is the general, General Tobias, that's his name, mm-hmm. He wears a nice red jacket, and the Lord Regent's like, I'm going to bed, and Tobias is like, maybe you should, like, sleep in your super safe room, and the Lord Regent's like, absolutely not, no, I'm not going
Mr.
to do
Mr. Paranoid
that.
Is like, fuck you, no, I won't be safe, like, okay.
So, he's like, no, I'm sleeping in my bedroom, I'm not fucking doing what you want. It's like, first of all, thank you, because that's the clue I needed to know where you are so I can go get you. But she's like, you know I'm gonna come kill you. What are you doing?
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. So yeah, then they turn off their stupid little Skype screen. And they go, you know, they go to their patrol, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
for me, if I went directly to the right, because I came in on the second floor, if you go directly to the right, there's a door, and you can just go up a tower where there's pretty much nothing in this tower but stairs. You can just go up and up and up and up and up, and eventually find the broadcast station.
Oh yeah, that nice man.
Yeah, and there's an NPC there who's giving the broadcast. He sees you, he's like, don't kill me, I don't want, like, the Lord Regent sucks. I can help you out. And I'm like, all right, solid. I'm listening. Help me out. And the broadcast guy says that the Lord Regent has an audiograph talking about his crimes. And if I can get that audiograph, the broadcast man can broadcast it to the entire city. Oh, that sounds so suspiciously convenient. But great.
Yeah. What I love is that, you know what I love to do when I do crimes? I love to make recordings of all the crimes that I've done and save them.
I know, it's so stupid. Like, I could, like, theoretically get it, because he's, like, he probably thinks he's going to be, you know, like, emperor forever, and, like, will be heralded as the guy who, like, got the city back in order, so, like, maybe he wants to, like, record the things he did for, like, posterity, but...
The thing that he recorded is very bad, so...
Yeah. I won't get to that yet, but, like, the NPC pretty much tells you the audiograph is in a safe in the Lord Regent's room, and I conveniently saw the code. Here it is. So handy.
Yeah, it's very nice of him. Also, I like, there's something really nice about this, because, like, as you walk up, you, because I just went and talked to him for funsies, you can, like, you hear him, like, giving an announcement, and it's, like, and, like, and then you, like, come up and you, like, see him, like, talking into the microphone, and I think it's, like, because, like, these, like, announcements have been, like, background, basically, for the whole game.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's, like, interesting that then this, like, thing that's kind of been, like, background world building, it's like, oh, it's this guy who does these recordings and, like, hates his job and wants to go live with his brother on a farm now.
Yeah.
It
is really, I think it's very cool. I think it's super neat, especially because, like, all of the recordings have been, they directly change, like, what you do.
Yeah.
So, like, you'll get a different one depending on who you kill, which is, I think, a really neat way of, like, influencing the city, and then you get to see that. It's super cool.
Yeah. It's a... Wait, I was it when I walked up, he was, like, talking about, like, whale oil rationing or something.
I do not remember what he was talking about, but that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first time I played this, I did not go to the control tower until after I had already killed Burroughs, so I did not get this non-lethal option.
That's rip. Fine. He doesn't really deserve it, so...
He doesn't. He's a shithead. Speaking of Burroughs being a shithead, instead of going up to the tower, I spent 20 minutes, fucking around with the Skype TV screen, because, first of all, while he is talking through his TV screen to his guards, you can just, like, shoot them while they're in the middle of this conversation, and which he notices you doing that. He's like, what's going on here? Like, he's like, I demand that you speak to me. And eventually, like, as the guards are, like, running around trying to, like, kill you, he'll be like, ugh, why isn't this thing working? And he turns the TV screen off.
that's funny.
That's one fun thing. And then also, if you don't do that, as the guards, like, dispersed themselves, like, one of them stands, like, in front of the staircase, and, like, the other two of them, like, go up it. So I, like, got rid of the guard in front of the staircase, and I was just, like, wandering around, and I, like, walked up to the TV screen, and there's this, like, switch. And I just pressed it, because...
That's what you do.
That's just what you do with switches. And right after I did it, I was like, oh, shit, I'm gonna regret this. I bet this is gonna set off an alarm. Which I eventually does, but it turns the TV screen back on, and you can talk to Burroughs, which shocked me, because I had never done that before. I didn't know you could do that.
I think I did once accidentally and didn't follow through. I think I, like, ran away. So I ding-dong ditched.
Fool. Yeah, ding-dong ditched to Regent Burroughs. But yeah, you pull it up, and basically he's like, it's you, the masked assassin. That's been, like, killing people and fucking up my life. Yep. And basically he says, well, you know, now I know that you're here, so the guards are gonna come from you, and, like, whatever. Like, basically he's like, it doesn't matter, I'm gonna kill you. And, like, he's just, like, this, like, very bombastic person. He's, like, so annoying.
He really is.
And then, basically, you get a dialogue, a dialogue option. Basically, you have two choices, it's basically you can either take off your mask and say, like, remember me, Hiram, or something like that, or you can leave your mask on and say, you'll die wondering who I am, which is, like, an incredible line.
That is an incredible line, but also, how does the Lord Regent not know?
He's wearing a mask!
Okay, yeah, but, like, if the guy who I tried to frame for murder escaped prison and, like, the next week... just, like, a bunch of my supporters died, I think, like, maybe I'd be like,
Well, he's an idiot. Yeah. Also, it's, like, there's, like, the screenshots of the game where, like, people will pull up, like, because there's wanted posters both for Corvo Atano and for the masked, you know, villain or whatever.
Right.
And it's, like, if you, like, look at those posters next to each other, it's, like, these two men are wearing the same coat. Exactly. Like, how has no one figured this out?
That's really funny. I don't know. I would presume that there are a shit ton of people out there who, like, don't really think that Corvo Atano murdered the Empress.
Yeah, there's probably, there's, like, actual loyalists.
Yeah.
Also, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like you, in this game, it's like, I signed the fucking guest book.
Oh, yeah!
Corvo Atano, so. but, there you go. So, yeah, so you get those two options. I fucking reloaded and did both because I am an investigative journalist and I must know all things that you can do in this game.
Tell me.
So if you say you'll die not knowing who I am, then the TV, it's like not that interesting. The TV screen just shuts off and the guards come for you.
Wow.
But if you, like, take off your mask and you're like, hey, bitch, it's me, then Burroughs is, like, real upset. He's like, Corvo, you? Like, you're the masked villain we've been searching for?
How is this a surprise?
Because he's stupid.
That's fair, but still.
He's so much. And basically he's, like, kind of reiterates what he said before, and he's like, well, you're gonna die here, and, like, this time you won't escape execution. And then he ends by being like, ugh, what did the Empress see in you? Which is infuriating, and I hate him.
That is infuriating.
I'm glad that I murdered him. And then, again, the TV, he, like, shuts off Skype, all the guards come running, and you have to deal with them. But yeah, that, I was very happy to run into that, because I did not know it was there.
And I didn't do anything with the Skype screen. I knocked out the guards, and then I went to the kitchen, which is the only other thing on the first floor.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, I went to the kitchen, and you have a skeleton key, but in case, like, you didn't get the skeleton key in Lady Boyle's mansion, there's, like, a shit ton of keys just hanging on hooks, so you can just pick them up willy-nilly.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that you got that from Lady Boyle. I just, like, had it, and I was like, I must have picked it up from a guard.
No, yeah, it's Lady Boyle. But yeah. So yeah, I snuck around. I listened to a butler or like a manservant. I don't really know the hierarchy
Something.
Of servants in the castle, but like a manservant tells a maid to deliver food to the torturer, and he like interrupts himself, be like, the torturer, I'm sorry, the royal interrogator.
I mean,
which is so funny. And the maid's like, ew, but he's like fucking creepy and he has that mean dog. And I'm like, that's so relatable. And he's like, Nat, deliver the food. So she goes and delivers the food.
Yeah, can you just follow her down?
I did not follow her down because there's guards down there, but she does not actually take the food to the royal interrogator. She leaves it on, like, the first step of the stairs down to the basement.
Oh. Yeah, see, I eventually found it on the step, but I thought I must have, like, startled her while she was, like, on her way
down.
No,
I think she just didn't want to go talk to him.
That's, you know what? That's valid.
Yeah. But yeah, like that, and other than that, the kitchen is the only thing on this floor. It's like the grand lobby and the kitchen. Which is like a very small kitchen, I would say, for being a royal palace. There's only like two stoves.
I guess they just don't eat that much.
They're not.
So does any, is he like the only person who fucking lives here?
I guess so.
I don't know
who else would live in, if this were like a palace, who else would live in the palace? Because I would usually assume like the entirety of the royal family.
Yeah, but it's like, there ain't one of those right now.
But it's just Burroughs, and even before that it was just Emily and Jessamine
and Corvo.
Yeah, I mean, Corvo was a secret.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, theoretically, like, when Jessamine took over from her father, like, he would have lived there with her until she died. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Right now he has this entire place to himself, so I guess if he really wants to have, like, a wild dance party, he can.
You know what? Somehow I don't think he's a very much, like, a wild dance party kind of man.
I don't know. He Skypes and everything.
That's true. He's the one man in Dunwall who has Skype. He's ahead of his time.
I hate that so much.
I hate him. But yeah, so you can go down the stairs from there and go to the torch. Like, what even is this? It's just, like, a dungeon.
This is the basement. And I only know it's specifically the basement because you can come down here in Dishonored 2.
Oh, that's true.
And it, like, works a bunch of the mechanics, but for right now, it's literally just empty, except for him, his dog, the dead body he's beating, and a shrine.
Yep, that's what's in this room.
Yeah. And you cannot, you have to kill this guy. I just went down there, you know, to see what he was doing, but sleep darts don't work on him, neither does, like, stop time. He has that same, like, green magical power that the Wailers do.
Yeah.
And, like, if you, like, explore enough, you can overhear, like, a few pieces of conversation between, like, the guards talking about how, like, he's into black magic, and he's kind of weird, and, you know, like, a bunch of things where it's basically, like, he's a torturer, and he's weird.
Yes.
So yeah, I just went down there and then I had to shoot him, which was unfortunate, but I shot him with a bullet this time.
like, 5 bullets. He's so hard to kill.
Oh, I shot him with one.
Especially, I was like, really?
I'm sorry. I shot him at his little dog, too.
God. Yeah, I had to shoot the dog, because the dog will attack you.
Yeah, it's like, that's, I feel bad, like, the dog doesn't know. The dog is just, like, trying to protect his master, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, dog. But
sorry,
I cannot use a sleep dog from you.
I was annoyed because I tried to use stop time and it wouldn't work, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's super annoying.
It's super annoying. It's like, it's interesting because I hadn't realized that outsider powers, well, I think possession might work on him because I read that on the wiki, but that like bend time and stuff doesn't work on him because I didn't notice that my first time around, and like, I think that would have made a thing that happens later in this game, like, less impactful for me if I had, like, realized that was an option.
Yeah, I think so.
Which we can talk about next week.
So, yeah, and also, so once he dies, he's just, you know, he's dead. And I went and checked out, like, the corpse hanging from the ceiling.
Like you do.
And, like, I presume that he was supposed to be torturing this guy. This guy is really fucking dead, like. He has been dead a while. Like,
extremely dead.
You know, he is burned. He is, like, hung by, like, fish hooks to the ceiling. Like, part of his arm is literally just bone. There's nothing else. Like, there's no way this guy was alive. So I don't know why like, you can see the torture when you go down there beating this corpse with, like, a red-hot iron. I'm like, what are you doing? He's super dead.
Yeah, it's like, I thought it was, like, an alive person that I walked
too.
Over. And I was
like, I was gonna go save them. But I was like, nope.
Yeah, very much not.
Yeah, so this is super dead. And then I picked up the shrine.
Yeah, then you could go talk to the outsider. Because you're definitely in the mood to chat with your BF right now.
Yeah. I love talking to the outsider because I don't know how much of interactions change with you in this game, depending on high chaos or low chaos.
Yeah, I know that they do change. I should have, like, looked, because on the wiki, there's, like, they put the shrine messages next to each other, so you can, like, see how they're different.
Oh, interesting. Maybe we'll have to do, like,
I know that some of them are different.
Of all of them. Pretty much he tells me, he's like, hey, you're here, you made it. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna end the Lord Regent by blood or truth? And which is, like, always the thing I think about, because I'm like, I haven't killed a single bitch. What do you think I'm gonna do?
I mean, hey, you could always surprise him. You're very fascinating or whatever.
I am so fascinating. The outsider also says something like, the region's a difficult man to get to. If the Empress had been as well guarded, would things be different now? It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's an extremely mean thing to say.
It's super mean. But there's also, so yeah, then he talks about, like, do you want revenge? Or, like, do you just want to, like, restore Emily to the throne? And then he says, will you send them all howling into the void? Which I thought was really interesting. I was like, what does that mean? Can I banish these people to the void?
Well, is that supposed to mean, like, when people die? Like, people don't go to the void when they die, I don't think.
I don't think they do. I don't think he's the god of death.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
They're also, I think, in this game, I think there also is a letter you can find where someone mentions that, like, their loved one was really close to death and they survived, but after that they could, like, see the void.
Yeah.
So that is really interesting, because it's not really come up. Like, I don't think we're supposed to associate the void with death. But that
the void and, yeah,
is interesting.
Yeah, because, yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, and then he says, after all that, he's like, either way, I expect a good show.
Bitch.
thanks.
There's also...
See, I think that, all that was exactly the same for me, so I think that message, like, doesn't... Well, I wonder, because all the messages also, they usually change based on when you go to the shrine, because, like, you could go to this shrine after you had already dealt with the region.
Oh!
And then he would probably say something, like, being like, oh, you did this.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I always go to the shrine before I've done the full mission, because I save that for last. But now I'm really curious.
Yeah, no, me too. Because, yeah, I always go to the shrines first, because I think they're interesting. But, because, like, the same with Lady Boyle, because with Lady Boyle, he was like, hey, what are you going to do to Lady Boyle? But it's like, I think he just, like, says what you did. He, like, says something that reflects what you did if you go to it afterwards, because you can do that.
Yeah, because, every single mission, you pretty much go back the way you came.
Yeah. Interesting. But yeah, so it's all the, I at one point in my life read all of these because I went to the wiki and read all of them after I played the game the first time because I missed like fucking all of them. but now I can't remember the specifics of a lot of them. But they're on the Dishonored wiki. We'll go look at them at some point.
There's also, next to the shrine, there's a note to the torturer from fucking Granny Rags!
That bitch. Well, because she, so I was also on the wiki about this. Like, that's how the torturer has his powers, because he's, like, pals with Granny Rags. Because the torturer does not have the mark of the outsider.
Right. And he doesn't have, he doesn't have a mark, and he doesn't have, like, any additional powers besides, like, the green magic and, like, being the immune green to powers. So it's kind of like
the Wailers have the green thing.
Right. I guess we'll have to check if they are also immune to bedtime and sleep darts. I don't think they're immune to sleep darts.
I don't think so, because that would make the Flooded District really fucking hard.
I would bet that they were, like, theoretically would be immune to sleep darts, but they couldn't do that because they have, like, the next mission, you have to deal with a bunch of them.
Yeah, and it would, I mean, that mission's already really fucking hard, so.
Yeah, but basically the note says, oh, come visit Granny, I'll give you another carved shiny present. She also says, I love watching you work, even if you aren't much of a conversationalist, which is, first of all, Granny likes to watch people get tortured. Second of all, she's a dick, because the torturer is mute. We find this out in, like, 15 different conversations, so Granny is an asshole.
I mean, yeah, she sucks, and she sucks. Yeah, that's about that. That's that.
Yeah, and that's all there really is in the basement. So I went back upstairs, and then I went back upstairs again, so I was on the second floor.
Yeah, and there's, like, is that where there's, like, all these glass cases of shit?
Yeah, it's a library.
And, like, some fancy stuff you can steal.
It's a library.
You know, that's, you know, in palaces, that's what's in palaces.
Yeah. There's, like, you know, it's pretty much, this is, like, the core of this, like, the center of this floor is this library. And there's, like, a couple of, like, there's, like, a study near it and a dining room. But, like, there's not really that much in this tower. It's just, like, a really big map.
Yeah, is this where is the chapel on this floor?
Yes. So, yeah, it's the giant library, like, a long, spooky hallway lit by floodlights, and a chapel with an overseer and a hound in there. Which is not pleasant.
Yeah.
That was not a fun excursion.
Oh, see, by the time I got there, I had already had to deal with the hound, because I had, like, alerted a bunch of guards outside, and so it had, like, come to try to kill me already. That room was empty.
Yeah, I shot a dart through the window to get them out of the room, but, like, I walked around, I did a bunch of shit outside, they did not care. They were, like, really intensely focused on their scriptures. Yeah. It's, like, small chapel. It says chapel, but that's not really, like, what it is. It's, like, I guess, it's basically just a room and, like, a stone tablet on the wall of all of, like, the scriptures. And there's, like, a pulpit.
Well, it's like the seven whatever.
Yeah, the seven scriptures and, like, an overseer chant. So it's, like, it's not like you have mass there or anything.
Well, like, what the fuck? Like, again, it's like, do the overseers have masks? Because, like, they don't believe in anything.
Yeah,
they
are, like, there's no
against
God to
things
them.
Only. So it's like the seven things you're not supposed to, like, yeah, it's like instead of having, like, the Ten Commandments on the wall, they have, oh, here's all the shit you shouldn't do, which I guess is what the Ten Commandments are, kind
it's
of,
like,
but, like,
well, things like the list just, of things they shouldn't do isn't even really a list. It's like seven things they have to be wary of, like the lying,
like, seven
tongue
weird metaphors,
or, like, weight and flesh. It's not really commandments, it's just weird things. It's like, I don't get it. And, like, I don't know what role, like, the Empress plays in this, because she has a chapel, and, like, one of the, like, authorities of this, you know, presumably country is an overseer.
What?
Like,
presumably.
I don't know. I mean, like, I would, you know, not commit to saying that, like, the people in Tivia care about overseers, but, like, in Gristle, this is their thing.
Well, we know that there are overseers in Cirkonos. But then, so, like, the higher overseer is always based in Dunwall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's also interesting because there on this floor or another floor, there's, like, a book about the Empire.
Yeah, it's like in the library where the books are, which I found at the end, and I thought it was really funny. It's like, ah, oh, the books. Here you are.
But yeah, because it's like, it talks about, like, it talks about, and there was another book somewhere about King Sparrow Island.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That is interesting.
And talks about how it's very well fortified, and talks about how it's fortified because of the Morley insurrection, which then this book talks about, like, oh, like, you know, Gristle, like, conquered all the other isles, and Morley was the one that, like, was least happy about being conquered. And, like, I had never, like, thought about before, like, it's called an empire, and, like...
And there's four countries in it, so, I know, I didn't think about it.
It's, like, in my head, they're separate countries, but they're not, because they all, like, they're all, like, under Gristle.
Jessamine ruled all of them. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
I know. Because, yeah, in my head, it's like they're four different things, but they're not.
Yeah, and because they treat people from the other places, like, as, like, outsiders. Like, people are shitty to Corvo because he's Draconian.
Yeah.
It is not clear to me until this point, and I was like, oh, right, they, like, conquered all these fucking people.
But it's also really funny because that means Jessamine wrote to a bunch of diplomats who she, like, directly controlled, and they said, actually, we're gonna barricade you.
They were like, nah, son, like, which, I mean, if these people, like, historically conquered them, it's like, oh, yeah, I can see why maybe y'all were like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's like, and it's also never really clear to, like, what extent, like, the emperor or empress has power over them, so.
I know, like, especially, like, the geopolitical situation in, like, in Dishonored 2 is kind of wild in this context.
Yeah. So yeah, this is really, like, the only level in which you get a bunch of info about, like, the actual authorities and, like economy of this entire empire.
Yeah. Instead of just, like, oh, everyone's dying.
Pretty much.
Which is still true. But yeah, so back in the chapel, there's, like, that letter. There's a letter that somebody, that from Teague Martin to somebody.
Damn, I didn't see this. What did my boy Teague say?
My boy Teague, because, like, basically he's, like, responding to a letter that he got from a rando overseer, where apparently this rando overseer was like, hey, like, I work in the palace and shit's fucked up, and, like, the torturer weirds me the fuck out and is, like, a cult and shit. I'm assuming that those were his exact words. And basically Teague wrote back and was like, yeah, you're right, there is wild stuff going on, and, like, it's weird that... you know, that the regent, who I thought was trustworthy, would have hired would continue to work with the royal interrogator if the royal interrogator is, like, connected to the occult, because that's bad. And so basically he, like, is like, oh, like, await my instructions and, like, don't feel bad about basically ratting out this dude because, like, you know, your job is to be an overseer and to, like, fight against the outsider and whatever. And so basically it's, like, Teague, like, basically... kind of being like, oh, yeah, the regent's corrupt. I should do something about that. And, like, kind of, like, sowing the seeds for, like,
doing something.
The regent to be, like, taken out of power.
Yeah, that's interesting and also really funny. Because on the one hand, like, yeah, hell yeah, fuck that guy for ratting out Teague. But on the second hand, it's like, yeah, or ratting out the Burrows. But on the second hand, he ratted him out to Teague and, like, the religious faction. And then on the third hand, Teague is like, you're great!
Well, it's interesting, too, because in that letter earlier that you get that, like, talks about the torture, it was, like, from a guard to another guard, and it was, like, one guard being, like, hey, like, I, like, frankly, I'm not an overseer, I don't give a shit what, like, occult shit you do, but stay away from the torturer, because he's fucked up.
Right.
There's this, like, weird divide between the guards and the overseers, where they're, like, ugh.
There's also, so, on, like, well, I'll get there in a second, because we're still on the second floor, and I have to organize it by floor, so it'll be mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
There's also, like, a book on the Academy of Natural Philosophy, which is just college, but a college where only really fancy people can go, which makes it...
Fancy people endowed,
yeah,
apparently.
Like, it makes it so funny that Dowd is somehow there, because the book says really explicitly that there's, like, a very long and arduous application process. Like, did Dowd take the SAT? Like...
Holy shit! Did the outsider help Dowd study for the SAT?
What does the outsider know? And Dowd even remembers Dowd's name. But, like, it's just, like, really funny that, like, yeah. And also, like, a funny, like, negative truth that, like, before being an assassin, Dowd was a nerd.
He went to, well, so, like, in the timeline, was this definitely before he was an assassin?
I don't know. Would you like me to Google it?
I mean, you don't have to, because we can talk about it in next week, which is going to be our fucking doubt episode.
He deserves it. Let's see. I'm Googling it now, because I am curious.
Yeah, because I don't even know how you find this out, but it's, like, I know that Dowd was at the Natural Philosophy Academy for, like, one semester or something. But, like, what I know about Dowd's backstory, also, if you have forgotten, because we haven't mentioned it a bunch, Dowd is the person who killed the Empress.
Right.
And has the Wailing Gang.
Right. So you can find out that he spent, a semester at the Academy, on the mm-hmm. book that you find when you wake up the first time you've seen The Outsider. It's part of that DLC that they gave you in the Definitive Edition. We just haven't talked about it yet because we were saving it all for the Doubt episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, so like that's just, you know, more fun Doubt.
Claire's gonna be so happy next week.
I'm gonna be so happy. There's also a book on Tivia, which is like, if Gristle is the England and Cirkonos is like the Greece / Italy, Tivia is Russia.
It's Russia, yeah.
Like, the book says...
And Sokolov is Tivia.
Yeah, which... Fuck you, Sokolov. But, like, the book says Tivia has, like, a lot of frozen plains, mountain ranges, and, like, there's not a lot of cities, and if you travel between one and the other, you have to fight, like, infested... Like, it's infested with bears and, like, northern hounds. And then it also says, despite this, Tivian art, fashion, and food are ornate and complex. All right. Solid. Russian.
It's better than that book about Morley where the dude was like, man, fuck Morley.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I don't think there really is anything on the second floor. It's mostly the chapel and the library. And the library is a two-story library and you can go upstairs.
Aw. Yeah, that's all. The only other thing I wrote down is there's a shitload of statues of Burroughs, like, just around, and I hate it.
There are. I can't tell if it was just, like, their random, like, art placement, because, like, there are a bunch of paintings you can see throughout the game, like, dozens of times. Like, there's one painting of, like, Burroughs descending a staircase, which
And every time I'm like, is that a Sokolov painting, and I try to grab it, and you can't.
Yeah, so, like, you can see that in literally just about every single level multiple times, so I'm always never sure if, like, is this just, like, what they did for art, or is this, like, just trying to tell me that Lord Bridget, like, loves himself that much?
Apparently.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so the third floor is also basically a library. It's like, well, it's like a balcony, which makes it hard to sneak around the library because everyone on the balcony can fucking see you, including an overseer with a fucking music box. I hate that bitch.
Sucks.
Yeah. So yeah, the third floor, there's a small bedroom, which is, there's a maid in there who screams when she sees you. And there is a study, and, like, the little banner that pops up when you walk in there says, like, General Tobias's office. And it's like, cool, didn't know who you were until 2 minutes ago, but love that I'm in your office.
But thanks. I think I didn't go to this, because I just went to the roof.
No, so his, it's, like, General Tobias's quarters, so I would assume the bedroom right next door is his, because why not?
Yeah.
So his office has a book on the Royal Spymaster... position. I accidentally wrote down poison in my notes, which is just very funny. Pretty much it says there are, like, as long as there's been, like, an empire, there have been spy masters, but for a really long time, it was, like, a secret position, and only mm-hmm. after the Morley insurrection was the position publicly acknowledged, because the spy master at the time had done a lot to, like, squash the rebellion. Very interesting. And it's, like, a pretty detailed book. It's, like, it mentions that, like, originally they had, like, nominated military members for the position, and then, like, spy masters had started hiring, like, once they wanted to retire, they would hire new spy masters from, the book calls it, like, their, like, cadre of espionage agents, which I think is so funny. And the book says that the spy master hiring the new spy master is good because a lot of the spy master's dealings aren't written down. They're always, like, whispered in conversations, which I think is bad.
Which also means that everything that Burroughs knew is now, like, out the fucking window.
Well, I didn't kill him.
Get rid of him.
Yeah. And
it's also, there was, like, another book, or maybe it was the King Sparrow book, that mentioned that the Royal Protector position was created after the Morley insurrection. Because, like, the Empress or the Emperor at that time, like, had almost died or something.
That is interesting.
So it's like, The Morley Insurrection, which is a thing that I did not know about before this level, and which, like, I don't know if it ever gets mentioned again, is apparently a very important event in Dunwall's, or in Gristle's history.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'd never heard of this goddamn thing. That's so funny. You would have thought that, like, they'd maybe, like, had a bodyguard before Rebellion, yeah. But whatever.
Whatever.
The rest of the book, like, about the Spymaster goes on to say that, like, people don't like the Spymaster because, like, he's doing things the Emperor, like, the Emperor or the Empress doesn't even know, and apparently it's, like, a really hotly debated topic in Parliament, but all the Spymasters are like, bruh, we can't do our job if we're beholden to bureaucracy or law, which is bad.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out fine with Burroughs.
There's also a really nice bottle of alcohol that I drank.
Yum.
And a note that about concerns with the royal interrogator / torturer, which, like, the first commander, which I don't know military positions. I assume it's, like, the guy right under General Tobias. I don't really know. I don't really care. The first commander is pretty much like, Toby, dude, sorry I have to talk to you again, but the torturer is coming into the barracks all the goddamn time. And, like, he says, like, apparently, like, one of the men woke up last night to find a torturer just, like, leering at him in the dark, and they, it's terrifying, and I'm not done.
I would see, yeah, I would not be a fan.
And, like, apparently the men think that the torturer has been stealing things and leaving odd items instead. For example, someone found a bunch of teeth wrapped up in his handkerchief. A bunch of teeth!
God.
So, like,
it's like a reverse tooth fairy.
Oh, that is.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the guy ends this letter by saying, like, I don't really care what you call him, executioner, torturer, royal interrogator, bat-faced freak, keep him out of the barracks. Which is so fucking funny to me.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
There's also, did you go to the hidden safe room in the fireplace?
I didn't, even though I think at one point you reminded me to, I did not.
Well,
I had less time than I expected to be able to play because my power fucking kept going out yesterday.
But yeah, I think I reminded you of this when you were playing Dishonored 2 because I didn't know about it until Dishonored 2, but it actually still is there in Dishonored 1, which is... Dunwall Tower is, like, I think one of the only places that shows up in both games, and, like, the map is incredibly accurate throughout the game. Like, I was looking at it, it's almost exactly the same.
Yeah, because I played the end of Dishonored 2, like, a month ago, and I was noticed how, like, similar the entrance hall was, like, it was even, like, set up with the same way, with those, like, overturned tables in, like, similar places.
Yeah, it's...
So, yeah, they do, like, a really good job with that.
They... really do. It's very impressive. I can only think of one place in the entire palace that isn't the same, and I haven't even gotten there yet. So
yeah.
So yeah, so there's, like, a hidden secret room you can go to, like, on the third floor, which I think the only way you're really able to see it is if you're using void vision. You can see that there's items behind a fireplace, and one of the lamps nearby is glowing blue, which is, like, you hit it because it's blue. So I did. And you can go through the fireplace into a secret room, which is just, like, a very tiny room. There is a desk in there with an audiograph. And when you turn it on, it's from Jessamine to Emily.
Oh, no.
I actually, it's long, what does it say? But I wrote the whole thing down because it was really good. So I will read it to us now.
Thank you.
It says, Emily, my daughter, I know that one day you'll be grown up. And I wonder what you'll remember of these years. Will you recall your time as a child with fondness? Or were there too many caretakers, formal dinners, and lessons about boring old history? Maybe the precious hours we spent together will shine brighter. Time captured now and then with your mother and with Corvo, who's always close to my heart. I hope the seasons of rats and plague will be nothing more than a passing shadow in your early memories. The crisis come and passed, weathered by your mother and her advisors. You'll sit on the throne someday and do well, I hope. It's a tricky life, full of responsibility and peril. It was not your choice to be the daughter of the Empress, but I believe you'll rise to the challenge. Stay good-hearted. Keep drawing and telling stories, and only share your power with those you truly trust. End. Yeah.
It's so sad.
It is so sad. And so this is also based on, like, the fact that she mentions the rap. Like, this is probably pretty, like, probably, like, yeah. right before she died. And it's just so yeah. sad. And this is, like, again, that's one of really... the only things we get about Jessamine.
I know. You. Yeah, this is, like, the, like, second, other like, other than the heart stuff, this is, like, the second, like, set of dialogue that you get from her aside yeah. from, like, the first time that you talk to her. At the first and only time that she appears on screen and alive in this game.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Oh man, now I feel even worse about Emily's whole deal in High Chaos.
So yeah, she, like, it's a really emotional, you know, like, thing about being the daughter of the Empress, and it's awful and sad. And there's yeah. also a letter sitting on the desk to Corvo. It's almost, it's like,
oh, no.
It's really short, it's really similar to the opening monologue.
Oh, yeah.
It, like, basically just says, I've missed you while you've been away, I trust no one else. The only thing that changes is she says, every day is a burden while you are away, even Emily is being difficult. When you're near, it's different, my heart is at peace. Which,
doesn't the heart say that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't, like, it's just... It's sad. They were in love. They had a family.
I know. Everything sucks in Dunwall.
Everything does suck in Dunwall.
I know. It's like, I'm honestly constantly impressed because it's like, Jessamine really has, like, no characterization yet. And yet, this game, like, Dishonored 2 also manages to make me so sad about her and Corvo's relationship. And I'm like, there's nothing here, but I'm sad about it.
Yeah. We always get to be nice and sad about Jessamine. And we're at a super long episode, so we're going to cut this one into two. And so we'll do our outro here, which I said we're going to do, but I don't remember anything we usually say in the outro.
Oh, hey, Claire, where can I find you?
Oh, yes, you can find me on the internet. I'm at Surrealist Trees on Twitter. And I used to do Let's Plays with my roommate, but we're moving soon, so we're probably going to stop doing that. So you don't get to have that.
How will the bitches get glitches?
I don't know. I don't really know there's a way to do it. So, just my Twitter. What about you?
I'm Sarah. You can find me on Twitter at Lucky Dice Kirby. And the podcast Twitter is at Drunken Whalers. Feel free to add us. And by us, I mean me, because I run it.
It's true. I have the ability to log in. I haven't yet.
Hey, see, I don't know if I can remember the password, so...
I do remember the password. I've got it.
Good.
And our opening song is Goosebeak Whale by Alps, and the link to that will be in the description. So thanks for doing the first half of this game, or not even this game, the first half of this fucking mission with us.
Hey, we're, like, halfway up this fucking tower, yay.